A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you once were alienated and hostile in mind because of evil deeds. God has now reconciled you in the fleshly body of Christ through his death to present you holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before him, provided that you persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, stable, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister.
Verbum Domini.
God himself is my help. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the words of my mouth.
God himself is my helper.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness.
God himself is my helper.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
While Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you not read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he went into the house of God and took the bread of offering, which only the priests could lawfully eat, ate of it and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'"
Verbum Domini.
St. Paul is reminding the Colossians, all of us, what it means to have received the gospel. That Paul, a minister of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, has reconciled us to God through the preaching of the gospel. And this is a message of hope and of restoration, This is a message of communion and of peace. And right before these verses, we're in Colossians 1, 21 to 23, but right before, Paul proclaims the primacy of Christ, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, that all things were created through him and for him, that he is the head of the body, that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace through the blood of the cross. So this is the foundation, who Christ is, that undergirds the security and purity the Colossians, all of us, now have in Christ. That the one through whom all was created has made us holy and blameless, irreproachable before God. And this does not give us permission for sin, by no means, but it is itself a duty to remain stable and steadfast in our hope, faith, hope, and love. And it's something, obviously, we know that we have to fight for, to maintain that we maintain holiness, blamelessness, to be irreproachable. And we think very much today, as we celebrate on Saturday the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady had this, of course, very beautifully in her Immaculate Conception and maintained it throughout life. This was something she also had to give her fiat to in growing in maturity. So he said, so St. Paul says, he has now reconciled us in order to present us holy, provided that we continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. As he will say to the Corinthians, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. So this is something we can lose. And again, we know that. Or I hope we have, we don't know that, but the frailty of our human condition. So St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians is warning them against the false teachers and against the continuing possibility of sin. There are ways of thinking and acting which can be called evil, because they estrange us and make us hostile in mind and in body to the gospel of God and to the holiness to which it introduces and calls us. So sin has the effect of estranging our will and our mind, estranging us even from ourselves, making us strangers, weakening and darkening our mind and our body, our will. But in the passion of Christ, in his flesh, we have been reconciled. Our sins have been crucified with Christ. And in his flesh, our flesh and our mind has been cleansed. And this happens through the reception of the gospel of God, that is faith, and in baptism through the sacraments, through the life lived out in faith, hope, and love. And this is the proper context to the things that Paul will say next to the Colossians. So we often have this out of context, but this is where it is. Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office, which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. to the primacy of Christ, this gift we have in Christ. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches and the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which mightily inspires me. So the Word of God, not just the Scriptures, but the Gospel, must mature within the individual. And this often happens, this happens primarily, through instruction, admonishment, and wisdom. And how important it is that the minister of God be self-sacrificing, willing to endure affliction for the sake of the church. So the process of making the Word of God fully known is not once and done. For us to know the riches we have in the gospel is not something that, you know, we went to catechism in when we were in grade school or something like this. This is a lifetime journey and process with and in Christ, with and in the church, to attain the riches and the hope of the gospel. So, as he'll say later, be knit together in love, to have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom are hidden all the riches, all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge.